We'll do the next one. It's also a very beautiful one. Verse number 40. Nantosti mama divyanam. Vibhuti nam parantapa. Inam parantapa. Esha tu deshata proktaha.
Esha tu deshata proktaha.
Vibhuter vistaro maya.
Vibhuter vistaro maya.
Na anto asti. There is no end. Na anta asti. There is no end. Mama divya naam. Vibhuti naam. He says, of my divine glories, there is no end. I have only, you know, how can you say that I have seen all of the Lord's glories? We have seen nothing. All we have seen is Bakersfield. You know, there's so many other countries in the world, and then there's so many other planets, and then there's so many other stars and so many other universes that we don't even know, and then there are so many worlds that we are not even aware of, the heavens and all the hells and all. There is no end, you know. Na anta asti mama divya nam vibhuti nam parantapa. That was Arjuna's name. Parantapa means the scorcher of foes, because he could destroy his enemies. But the reason he says here, he says, because your greatest enemy is your mind. You can conquer the world, but if you don't conquer your own mind, then your success is temporary. You have to conquer your mind. You have to bring your mind under your control. So he says, but there is no end to my divine glories. Esha, this, tu uddeshatah proktaha. Proktaha means has been said. I have said. Uddeshata, very example, just a few. Uddesh means a practical, a little example. A few details. Vibhuter vistaro maya, by me, maya by me. Vibhute, vibhute means this huge world. There's so many things. But I have only given you 54 examples. And there is a very beautiful story with Swami Chinmayananda and his tape. I was listening about this particular verse. It's a hilarious story. So it's fun to tell. So in India, there was this minister. He was called Rural Industries Minister. You know, ministers are like the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State and all. So what happened, there was this illiterate man who was uneducated, but he somehow won the election and got elected. And why did he win? Because everybody in the majority of the people in the village and that area were illiterate. So they voted for the one whom they can understand. And that's what happens. If you look at these career politicians, a lot of them have never held a job in their life, have never run a business, never taken care of a patient, never taught in a school, but they've always been politicians. You know, they went, they worked for a politician's office and then became the secretary of the politician and then themselves became. And so when they are running the country, they have never run a business or they have never taken care. And so that's why some of them. But anyway, in this, coming back to this story, this uneducated person became an MP. He got elected to the parliament, to the House of Representatives. And so he got elected. And he, not only he was elected, but all the surrounding villages, all, there was a bunch of MPs, members, who were all supporting him. So he became a very powerful member of the parliament. And he had 40 people, you know, other members who were supporting him. So then the prime minister who appoints the ministers said, you know, now this guy is very powerful and I need his 40 votes to survive. Otherwise my cabinet will fall, my government will fall. So he has to offer him a minister position to get his support. So he says, first he thinks, I mean, home minister. No, home minister is too important. I cannot give it to him. This guy is not, can't even barely read and write. He said, I can make him secretary of defense. Even though he doesn't know the difference between a stick and a gun, it's okay, you know. To know, become a defense minister, you don't need that. He said, no, it's okay, I won't make him. So he makes him minister of rural industry because he comes from a small village. He's uneducated. He said, he'll do a good job. So he becomes minister. And he has a car and he has a big house and he has this secretary who follows him everywhere. And his secretary is making notes. So now this minister decides that I'm going to go and inspect the villages where the industries are there. because he's minister of rural industry, so he cannot go to Bombay or Delhi to the big city. So he goes to this small village and he calls the head, you know, panchayat. He says, what are the industries you have in this village? He says, you know, we are a small village, we don't have. What do you manufacture? Because he has learned some words, you know, having become a minister. What do you manufacture? He said, well, there is that, you know, potter, pot maker. He makes pots. That's the only industry I can think of. Rest of the people are farmers and, you know, they produce milk and all. Okay, take me to the pot maker. So he goes to the pot. So there is this guy with a dhoti and a torn shirt sitting and, you know, moving his wheel and making the pots. So they say, oh, this is the minister. So he says, okay, he salutes him. He says, so are you the owner of this enterprise or do you have shareholders? Are you the sole owner or do you have shareholders? He said, sir, I am me alone. I don't have any shareholders. My father had this business. My grandfather had this business. I am making pots and my son will be making after me. So I don't have any shareholders. He said, okay, do you have any, where do you get the raw materials for your production of your factory? He said, raw material, though, there is a mud, you know, like a kiln, the mud, like a hill, and from there I get the mud. Okay. What is the mode of transportation you have? He says, my wife's head. She goes there, he gets 2-3 pounds of mud, brings it, and it's enough for me to make it, and then at the end of the day, okay, very good. So, who manufactures this wheel? Do you get it from US or in England? No, sir. There's a local carpenter. He just made it. He manufactured it. I see. How do you do repair and maintenance? He said, no repair and maintenance. I just fix it myself. It's a round wheel. What is going to break? I've had this for 20 years. Never. Okay. Who provides the energy for this running of this enterprise? He said, I do. I rotate the wheel. I provide the energy. Okay, now he has asked all his questions. He says, where do you keep the manufactured products? So, because he has learned some few English words. He says, sir, there is a little hut there. It is like a go down. I keep it. Okay, take me there. So this potter gets up and takes. And while the minister is, secretary is writing notes. What is the raw material? What is, because he has to go and submit a report. Where does the product come from? Where does the energy come from? Where does the money come from? All that, the notes, the secretary is writing. So they go into this little, go down, like very small structure, and they walk in there and he says, there is this red pot. What does this consist of? So the potter says, sir, that is clay. Secretary, write down, red clay. So the red pot, so his secretary writes down red clay. Now what is this blue pot made of? Sir, it's made of clay. The secretary is blue clay. And the yellow pot, yellow clay. So the minister is telling and the secretary, what about this tall pot? Sir, that is also made of clay. Okay, secretary, write down. This is the tall clay. And then there is a round pot. What is that? Sir, that is clay. Secretary, that is round clay. So he says, now in this go down, he has 6 different clays. He has a red clay, he has a blue clay, he has a yellow clay. Then he has a tall clay, and then he has a short clay, then he has a round clay, then he has a flat clay. Oh my God, he has so much variety. So with all those, he leaves. Okay, now secretary, we have to submit a report to the central government about all that we have studied. So he leaves, and the secretary, of course, has to write notes because that is part of his job. Otherwise, he'll get fired. And so they make a nice report. And that man hits his head. He says, you know, I feel sorry for the parents of this minister having to bring up this idiot. he says, I have been telling him they're all nothing but clay. But he says there is red clay and a blue clay. This is all clay in different shapes, forms and different colors. But we laugh at the minister, but we are not any wiser than the minister. Because we also see that even though everything is nothing but the Lord, but I say, oh, this is my friend. And this is my enemy. He belongs to my religion. In India, we even say he belongs to my state. If he's from Gujarat and he speaks Gujarati, he's my friend. Or if he's from Kerala and he speaks Malayalam, he's my buddy. And anybody who is not from my state, forget him. You know, I don't want to deal with him. Or from my caste, you know, used to be very strong. You know, this belongs to, he's a Brahmin. And so I only associate with Brahmins. I look down on the lower caste. So we are like that minister, even though everything is made of that one Brahman, that one consciousness, but we distinguish. This is I love, this he belongs to my religion, he goes to my church. And in that process, you know, we kill each other and we slaughter each other, like what was happening in Ireland. You know, they are both Christians and they are both saying, you know, the one is on one side of the street is Catholic, another side is Protestant. And they both say, Hail Jesus. They say, Hail Jesus, and then take guns and shoot each other. They, in the name of Jesus, they are killing another Christian. And that's how we are. In the we say, oh, Allah will be happy if I kill non-believers. Or you know, Jesus will be happy. Or the Jews will say, oh, you know, to protect my religion, I have to kill all the Muslims. So even though the consciousness in all is the same, the Lord is the same, but we like that minister, we think this is red clay and this is blue clay and this is green clay. So these are all that one consciousness and there is no end to that. So the idea of this verse and this beautiful chapter is that look at those examples and then see the Lord everywhere. When you see a beautiful flower, you see the Lord, but then you also see it in the flower that is not that beautiful, that is dyed. You see them in the intelligent people, wise people, but then you also see them in the those who are not as intelligent. If you see him in the Himalayas, then you see them in all the mountains. And when you're going up the grapevine and you see these beautiful mountains with the flowers, especially in the springtime, that's where you see the Lord's glory. And see them in the good and the bad. See them in the ugly and the beautiful. See them in the successful and not so successful. See them in the white and the black and the Hispanic and the Asian. See them in all the states, in all the colors, in all the forms. Even the inanimate objects, that's why in the Buddhist teaching, they even respect the inanimate objects like the shoes or the clothes or the chairs. Because the Lord is there in everybody. So that is the beauty of this beautiful chapter, that you can see the immense glory of the Lord through those limited examples, through those 54. So Swamiji in his commentary says, each one of these examples you take and you meditate upon them. This chapter is not, okay, khatam ho gaya, 10 chapter is done. Not like that. But go back and read this chapter again and think in your mind, yes, the Lord is there in everything. The Lord is there in all the mountains. He's there in all the rivers. He's there in space. He's there in all the humans, all the beings, everything the Lord is. So that is, otherwise, reading this is just like another, you know, story. Okay, I heard the story, I'm gone. But when you apply that in your life, you think about it, go home and reread it, and then start applying it in your relationships, then only you can be called a spiritual person. When you see that spirit, that one spirit in all person, that is called a spiritual person, not somebody who wears a tilak on his head or has a cross and goes to church. Yeah, those things are good, you know, wearing a cross, going to church, having a tilak, but that does not make you religious. What makes you religious is how you deal with people and how you apply this knowledge. Then only you can call yourself a religious person. Just because you go to the temple 7 days a week, it doesn't make you religious. Just because you have chanted the Lord's name, you chant Om Namah Shivaya all day, but then you don't see Shiva in all the beings, then you are no longer, you cannot call yourself a Shaivite, you cannot call yourself a true Christian or a true Muslim or a true Hindu. Any comments?
But one more thing, is it true, like if you cook, it depends on like you're giving your ideas and the person who eats,
yes,
we get those, transfer those ideas to them?
True.
So you don't eat from every person who cooks and...
No, that's not it. It's not so much that, yeah, that's why ideally they say you should eat home-cooked food. You know, the best thing is because... The mother of the house has cooked with love and you know, so the energy, the person cooking makes the food sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Suppose you are in an angry mood or you are in a bad mood and you are kicking for the cooking for the, you know, oh, there's so many guests and why do I have to cook and my husband always invites too many people. So with that mood, when you are cooking, or with the anger, then that anger gets transmitted, or you had a bad day. So that's why for the mother, when she starts cooking, she has to remember the Lord before she cooks, so that, because that energy gets transmitted into the food. And that's why also when we eat, we also remember the Lord, the idea being that may the Lord bless this food. You know, like in the Christians, that they do that all the time, they say grace. That is the inviting the Lord's grace. Yeah. No, the cooking is very important. Yeah.
It seems so obvious that, you know, we're all one and that all religions point to one God, but for people to be fighting amongst each other, like you said, the Christians fighting the Christians, and it's hard to imagine.
Because they have not understood their scriptures. See, the prophets were all very wise, whether it was Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or you know, Krishna or Shankaracharya, they were all very wise. But it's the followers, they have not understood the teachings or misunderstood them and misinterpreted them. And that is the problem. The problem comes when the teachings, like Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So which means love everybody, whoever your neighbor, it could be a Christian neighbor, a Muslim, a Hindu. So the prophets were wise. It is we who have not understood their teachings and misinterpreted them. And then a lot of times it is power. See, the person sitting on the top could be a pope or could be a imam or could be a head of some, you know, like a mutt or a temple. And he wants more power, so he'll tell his followers to, you know. So it's a question of power, economics, money, all those factors. So it's a lot more than just religion. It's the application of religion to get more power. That's where the problem arises, misuse of that. So wrong teachings given by wrong people and then not understood properly, that is the source of all the conflicts. And majority of the conflicts have occurred in the name of religion, you find in the world. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramaya, sarve atrani pasyantu, ma kaschit dukkhabhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru Devaya Namaha, Hari Om.